Morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Just a banker, a drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Yeah, yeah. It's time to kick off the morning show here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, locally grown radio. Got your host, James, here, joined by your CEO of United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
Got the band together.
On hump day.
On a hump day. That's going to be fun. We're going to have some fun. We got good things on the way for you, everybody. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club right around the corner. We're also going to get into, we have a new record for the world's heaviest pumpkin. Got to talk about that. How many of us have lived in a haunted house? We've got some stats on that one. How many of us have lived in a haunted house? There's also a good chance of aliens making contact today. So get ready, put on some decent, a decent shirt. You don't have to dress up.
Change your underwear.
But, come on. At least,
Get ready.
Just in case, be on your best behavior and put on a nice shirt, and clean underwear. Yes. Clean socks and underwear, I should say.
There you go.
We'll kick off the 10 o'clock with a little bit of entertainment news. Got some fun things to dive into there. Also in that 10 o'clock, we got four big benefits of having a dog. We've got that one for you, along with a bunch of good stories of the day and plenty of other stuff. You put Terry and I in a room together, who knows what's going to happen. I want to start off in two notes, actually. One, I'm not sure what happened with Melissa's news there, but we will figure that out and make sure to get you guys her latest news update. Appreciate the work she puts into that. Want to make sure to get that out there for everybody. I know how much the audience looks forward to it. And I want to say a gigantic shout out to Diane. She brought us chocolate chip cookies again. They are all gone. I hope the staff wasn't hoping to eat any.
Rude.
Oh, I devoured them. They're gone. There is police tape up around them, and there is a detective from Law and Order back there right now, like, oh my God. No, there's a bunch of cookies left. There's a bunch left. But thank you, Diane.
That's
we appreciate
awesome.
It. I don't know if I mentioned this enough. Diane's a really good baker, too. It's not that she just makes these things for us. They're really good. We appreciate it.
So nice of her to think of this group.
We just have that kind of community, Terry. Not many of us know it better than you do as the CEO of one of our strongest nonprofits in the United Way. And especially this time of year during campaign season, where it's all hands on deck and we're looking for everybody to help out in any way that they can. We saw the community come together with Day of Caring the other day. I wanted to just touch on that real quick before we went too forward. How did Day of Caring go?
Yeah, Day of Caring went fabulous, and we were able to rake 103 yards.
Woo!
So that's super awesome. And also, that was about 450 volunteers that got that work done, and everything went really well. I mean, I had new staff doing the event, so sometimes you're like, oh boy, what did we miss? You look back at other people's notes, but there's always, it can always happen. And I thought, everything went so smooth and, great feedback from the homeowners, great feedback from the participants. But all in all, we were able to do a great service for 103 homes in our community. Now, Mother Nature did not do a great service and drop all the leaves beforehand. But, we did what we could do at the time. Lots of leaves were bagged or raked to the curb. And mm-hmm. We're very fortunate how many, the old saying, many hands make light work.
Yeah.
And we saw a testament to that. And honestly, the last group we do ask the rakers to let us know when the yard is done so we can just, officially check mm-hmm. it off. And the last ones were done by, short before 1 o'clock. So, I mean, wow. It was just a short morning.
Nice.
Grand Rapids Lions, certainly our hats off to them for mm-hmm. We just simply get the pancake mix. They turn it into a feast, mm-hmm. Into a small feast. So lots of people, about 200 people for breakfast. So that was phenomenal.
Wow.
I can't say enough good. And so, if you were part of this in any way, thank you.
Mm-hmm. It's a success. It's something that we can all take a little bit of pride in, I think. And certainly it's a bellwether for this community. This is an event where it's not something that you do for any other reason than you got good in your heart. Like, I don't know how else to put that. You're really giving of your time, your Saturday, to go and do this. I think that's really cool. And it's so great. Every year, it never gets old hearing this turnout that we get. And next year, we're going to look for even better turnout, even more. So we're looking forward to that. Right now, with the United Way, Terry, I mentioned that it is campaign season. We certainly, this is the time of year we're encouraging people to donate if they can. Dollars and cents go very far. Your time, volunteering for things, goes so deep. But I don't know that we always get a chance, because there's always events going on. There's always so many things happening with the United Way that we really get a chance a couple times a year to focus on really what the United Way is doing and why we're asking for this assistance, why we want the community to invest in the United Way. Because it is an investment. We call it donations, but it's a true investment. 100% of what you donate, whether it's $5 or $500, goes right back into this community.
And stays here. And I think that's really important. I had a really great conversation actually yesterday morning with the crew over at DoorWorks. Went there to do a campaign presentation and was talking with them. And I thought it was really cool because it's a small but mighty team, but they had some really great questions, who's being served? So United Way's focus is on what we call the ALICE population. ALICE stands for Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed. So these are folks in our community who are working, but maybe just aren't making enough to make ends meet. Or they are making ends meet until something happens, right? Car breaks down. So do you have a support system? Who can help you till the car is fixed? Where does the money come from to fix the car? So there's some challenges that I think households in our community face that aren't always right on the forefront, but easily, can turn the tide of how their financial situation is going. So United Way dollars are focused on households that are below that ALICE threshold. And we focus on them through a what we call our community impact agenda, but we have four different areas of the community that we focus on. So we focus on healthy community. So that's where we're thinking about, access to programs for physical health, but also food programs, right? Like, what does that look like? How do people get access to food? And we know that food is a hot topic right now and access. So we are currently, my team right now is literally working on a flyer about food access for the month of November because of the suspension of the SNAP benefits. And even if the a vote passes, it still won't be loaded on those cards by November 1st. So there's a delay. So we're working on trying to stay ahead as much as we can. Of course, this is going to put a huge amount of stress on food pantries. I mean, that's just, it's just the reality. Not here to or with anybody to debate how we got to where we are, but what do we do now, right? Like, how do we help folks who have that need? So healthy community, youth opportunity, right? So what are we as a community offering to our youth, especially those who can't be part of every club program or that kind of thing? So healthy community, youth opportunity, financial security. So thinking about, like I mentioned, the ALICE families, and what does financial security look like for families in our community? And last but certainly not least is community resiliency. And in that area, we think about things like 211. Mm-hmm. 211 is a really important resource, and an important resource, again, when we're talking about food security right now. Mm-hmm. If you want to know what's available in the community, you call 211.
Yeah.
They will tell you. It might not be what you want to hear, but they'll tell you what's there, because it is the most comprehensive list of programs available. And I also just want to note is 211 is statewide, 24/7 coverage. So you might be fine yourself, but you're thinking about your elderly aunt who lives in, pick a place, in Wisconsin, yeah, right?
Sheboygan.
And so in Sheboygan. I mean, we might as well humor this up a little bit.
Yeah.
So James's elderly aunt who lives in Sheboygan, you're worried about her for food security. So you can call 211. You can know what's in Sheboygan, right? So I think that's the beauty of the system. Statewide, one database, like like phone system. So we're all working
sharing
together.
Sharing information.
And minimizing duplication, yes. Right? So that's a big thing too with your United Way investment, because I mean, that's what this all circles back to, right? We're asking people to make donations and to give to United Way. Be as generous as you can. There's no right size gift. All gifts count, and all gifts make an impact. And that's the beauty of, right, when we put all of these donations together, we are able to do all of this work. There's 28 programs that we help to fund. There's 10 initiatives that our staff provides, as programming to the community. There's a lot going on in each of those four areas. So this time of year, honestly, for us, mid-September till mid-November is all about money. I mean, that's just the reality, because we're raising the dollars to fund 2026. As much as we raise is as much programming as we'll be able to offer. So no matter what we raise, it's a success and it's a victory, because it is impacting community members. But our goal is to always raise at least what we did the prior year or a little bit more, so that we can make sure the level of service that's been provided in the community is at a minimum maintained, right? Like, we don't want to see declines in service. We want to at least maintain, but, you know, maybe even raise it up a little bit. So, you know, this time of year is about, it just is. I mean, that's the deal, right? It's about money. And so people can donate to United Way by, you can mail a check to us or stop in at 351 Oak Street here in Wisconsin Rapids. You can give on our website, uwswac.org, and you can give with a credit card. We can set up automatic withdrawals if that's your preference. You can do a qualified distribution from an IRA if you are, you know, of the age of being able to take distributions, which doesn't count against your annual income, by the way. So there are plenty of options. We just really encourage you to, there's no better time to roll up your sleeves and, you know what, drop off a $5 bill or, you know, make a distribution. Whatever it is that is meaningful to you will go so much farther than you could ever believe here in this community.
I'd like to ask everybody to do something for me real quick. Whether you've ever donated or not to the United Way, volunteered with the United Way, used the United Way services or not, you're familiar with the United Way. You know quite a bit about it already. It's pretty hard not to in this community. So I'd like everybody to just think about, over the course of the year, the different things that the United Way impacts in our area. We just got done starting off the school year. We were able to start off so many kids with backpacks, so many kids with school supplies. During the summer, we have our United We Can event with the rafters, and we have this such a fun, creative time with that, while also doing such good in collecting so many great food items for this community and that is so right now needed. Also during the summer, you've got the book reading programs.
Yeah, great book giveaway, yeah.
Things like that. We've talked about Dolly Parton's Imagination Library. So many different programs. Now think about if we didn't have those programs. Think about if we are even missing just one of those programs, how different our community would be, how much that would affect our community. What we raise right now gives us the opportunity to do not only what we're already doing, but maybe even more, and at a time when we could really use it. It's all hands on deck, and we appreciate everybody that's able to put into this. As Terry mentioned, there's lots of ways to donate. Find out more by going to uwswac.org. Head on over there. And while you're at it, be sure to follow them on social media, share their posts on your page. You just never know what you might find and what you might be able to share with people and who might see things that wouldn't otherwise. Get on over there and do that, everybody. Terry, I don't know if you guys have a program yet or not, but I am working on the idea of a Guinness record program with the United. No, this isn't going to work. But I do think this is a fun topic, and I had no segue for it. So did any parents throw out their back this October trying to lump pumpkins around? My dad almost did this. My dad, he was going to get a pumpkin. I don't know what happened. I know him and my mother apparently were at the store. He found a pumpkin he liked. He picked it up. It hurt his back. He set it down. They never got the pumpkin.
No pumpkin.
I guess I don't know what's going on with that. I want to get one because I haven't carved a pumpkin in years. I want to do that. There's a new record for the world's heaviest pumpkin. And I kind of wish I could carve this one. Two British twin brothers had been growing giant pumpkins for over 50 years, and they finally scored a world record after they harvested one that weighed 2,819 pounds and 4 ounces.
No way.
It's also the largest pumpkin by circumference at 255.8 inches. That's over 21 feet. The guys' names are Ian and Stuart Payton, and they started growing super-sized gourds in their early teens. They are now 64. They nicknamed the pumpkin Muggle, inspired by the Harry Potter franchise. There is some pretty good photos of this thing, too. It's It is.
But way to keep after it.
Yes.
If they were in their teens and now they're 64, so at least 50 years, right?
How cool is that?
I give them credit for their perseverance.
Absolutely. It shows that you really love what you're doing, to keep doing it even if you haven't succeeded. But that thing... That does not look like a... It looks like an alien to me.
I know
we're supposed to possibly have alien contact.
Yeah, you're on another planet today. Just today. You know, did you ever notice... That thing is huge. But did you ever notice, like, when you see pictures of big pumpkins, they're never, like... standing.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not criticizing. Like, what are they going to do? Go out there and try to roll it? But isn't that funny how they're always kind of just flat?
Yes.
Like, what was the nursery rhyme with the pumpkin?
Oh.
Jack Sprat?
Yeah.
Maybe?
Yeah.
But that pumpkin is hollowed out. They're sitting in it the right way, right?
Yeah.
And I get it. It's a nursery rhyme. But it is funny how they're always kind of just flat.
It is funny that way. Also, we did the story the other day about this place, I believe in England, where they cut these out and they use them as rafts.
Like a pumpkin regatta.
Maybe that's part of that's it. Maybe that's part of why because they're already flat. On the bottom, or they're already laying flat.
That thing is huge. Although we have a pumpkin patch at our house, and they do grow like on their side. And I'm always telling my husband, I'm like, rotate those things so they look nice when they're. And he's just giving me the stay out of my garden.
I love the idea of that.
We actually had a really great harvest this year, and they do look nice. I have no idea if he rolled them or not, but they do look good.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Very good to hear. We will take a quick time out. We will get to our break here. When we come back, we're going to have some fun with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's a morning show with Terry and James on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Come on, baby, let the good time roll. Come on, baby, let me thrill your soul.
You heard him. Let the good times roll into the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. It's time to treat yourself. Get on over to El Cafe, 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Buy local, support local. Head on over there, everybody. Check out some of the great specials they have. They have pies. So many types of pies. Check them out. And they've fun things like with their haunted house and the trunk or treat. Had some really good events going on over the past weekend. Encourage you to check out things over at El Cafe. Find out more by following them on Facebook. Right, type over your search bar El Cafe and subscribe to what they do over there. Keep up to date and everything that they're up to. And of course, get us your birthdays and anniversaries so we can keep on celebrating with you. Email us info@WFHR.com. Direct message us on our Facebook pages. And you can call on up 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Looking forward to it, everybody. Terry, I need a one or a two.
Two.
All right, because that's that qualifier. First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Civic Media's own Jason Mansmith.
Happy birthday, Jason.
Jason, enjoy your day. Jason's a good guy. We hope he enjoys it. Have a good one, Jason. Enjoy the day. We see who you share your birthday with. We wish a happy birthday to Kurt Williams.
Happy birthday, Kurt.
Kurt with a C. Wanted to make darn sure that his wife, wanted to make darn sure it was with a C this morning. So I made sure, C with a C, Kurt with a C. Enjoy your day, Kurt. Hope it's a good one for you, man. And our qualifier today, Sarah Bates.
Happy birthday, Sarah.
Enjoy the day, Sarah. Hope it's a great one for you. Enjoy. Have a great one. And we encourage you to brag to all your friends, family, strangers, animals that you are our qualifier and our star of the day. Enjoy. Let's see who you share it with. Looking at our celebrity list, Gabrielle Union is 53. She is Bad Boys. She was in LA's Finest. She's married to Dwayne Wade, so you might have seen her in some of those commercials with him and everything. Very strong actor. Very strong actor. And a really interesting interview, some of that. She's a good, talented human being. Ooh. Winona Ryder is 54. I think Winona Ryder. Now I admit, or one of my earliest crushes I had was Winona Ryder.
Well,
I admit that.
Yeah.
But there's about a billion other people out there that are agreeing with that, nodding their head. But that said, fantastic actor. Fantastic actor, a huge range of things that she can do. Obviously, her early movies with Beetlejuice and some of those Edward Scissorhands.
Early, how about Heathers?
That's where I was going. That's where I was going, because Heathers leads into Girl Interrupted and leads into Stranger Things and leads into her doing a little bit more drama that I don't know that people really could see her capable of unless it wasn't for Heathers. She was able to do that silly fun movie that would never happen nowadays.
I'm not sure. This is something to be proud of, but like back in the day, I could recite almost that whole movie.
I love that about you. Like, I love that.
Almost like I could right now, but you'd be bleep, bleep, bleep.
I feel like it works out every year that her birthday, you're co-hosting.
Seriously.
And, yo, God, I love that. That's awesome. And she's great. And has really stuck with the industry where, a lot of actors, they get dismayed, they get away from it and everything, and they find other things to do. I admire that she has stuck with it and that she's found different things like Stranger Things or stuff to jump into and other projects. I hope with Stranger Things wrapping up, she keeps acting. I hope she finds other projects because I love her work. I love her as an actor. I think she's fantastic. Let's see. Randy Jackson is 64. Dazzling member of Tito and the Jacksons, but not the Jackson 5. Also, not to be confused with American Idol's Randy Jackson. Jeez. Not the same Randy Jackson. There is no confusing the great, the legend, the wonderful Dan Castanella. Dan Castanella is 68 today. He is, of course, the voice of Homer Simpson. But not just Homer. He also does the voice of Grandpa Simpson, Barney Gumble, Krusty the Clown, Groundskeeper Willie, Mayor Quimby, Hans Molman, along with at least 20 other characters I can think of off the top of my head on just that show.
That is amazing.
He is, and every one of these voices pretty much sound different. There's a handful that are a little close, but for the most part, he does something that Frank Oz and so many other great voice actors are able to do where you can't even tell that they're doing a different, it's that actor doing that voice. Dan is also one of the creative consultants on the show. He is one of the integral members of that show, not just because of his voice, but his writing talent. He's a great actor. He started out on the Tracy Ullman show as one of the actors on that show. All the voices of The Simpsons were all actors on the Tracy Ullman sketch show. And that's part of how they became voice actors on that, is because it was a segment for the show. He's one of these people that people love to work with, too. He's a real giver. He's a real believer in building people up in the industry and a lot of those things. I am a huge fan of his, not just because he is the voice of Homer, but because of who he is as a person. I really enjoy him. And, yeah, obviously, he's the voice of Homer. He created dough. Like, in the original script, it just says annoyed grunt, and he came up with dough. He did that.
I feel like maybe... You know, he was working on it and his wife walked by and like kicked him or something.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it was an actual reaction to something.
Love that.
And so like,
love that.
This does work.
No, actually, you know what? That's the great. That's
not
the
that
story.
His wife would kick him, but I'm just saying. I love like there's something.
I want that to be true. I
slugged like that. Him in the arm. You know, I don't know.
Richard Dreyfuss is 78. Fantastic actor. Matt Hopper in Jaws.
Jaws.
The Third Kind. What is it? The sci-fi movie. I can't think of. He was in. He was in that. Mr. Holland's Opus. Mr. Holland's Opus. Great movie. Fantastic movie. Maybe his best performance. And of course, What About Bob? You know, What About Bob is a great one.
I kind of tried to block that movie out.
I think a lot of people do. But I don't know. It's got some great baby steps. Baby steps. Got to take baby steps. He's got one of the more, I would say, Close Encounters.
Terrible movie.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind. That's what I was trying to think. Goodbye,
right there.
Girl. There's another one. Richard Dreyfuss has got one of the more, illustrious careers in many ways. Just because of when he came around and the notoriety that he had along with the opportunities he got. Solid actor.
It's a pretty diverse list, too.
Yeah, that's a good point. People no longer with us, like Denny Lane, born on this day in 1944, the original singer of the Moody Blues. He sang on the first hit Go Now. He was also a guitarist for Wings. And Daniel Decatur Emmett, born on this day in 1815, he wrote Dixie. Wow. Let's see here. And that is going to do it for our list. But we encourage everybody to get us more birthdays and anniversaries. We love celebrating with you. Keep getting them to us, everybody. And of course, there's not a better way to celebrate than with our friends over at El Cafe. Encourage you to treat yourself. Get on over there today, everybody, to El Cafe and enjoy yourself. We will keep working on Melissa's news. We'll try to get that for you. But for now, we'll just go right to Mike's sports. Yeah, get some Mike Clemens for you right here. Terry and I will be back with more show here. 97.5 FM WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Halloween week. So we got the bumpers for one more week here with the Halloween themes. Terry, we had a topic the other day about spookiest music videos and all that. And Thriller was number one, of course. Any that popped to mind for you as far as the Halloween videos or anything like that?
No, not really.
Yeah. When we did the subject, I was like, I kind of thought about it. I was like, that seems like an untapped topic. Like, that more people should have done more of that. When videos were a bigger thing. Now it's, I don't know when it would matter, but back in the day, I feel like they should have done more of that. Especially with this being Halloween week, we're all a little bit more on, I don't know if on guard is the right word, but we're more sensitive. We're more in tune with things. And I think of any kind of supernatural nature. Now, you could be the most un-person like that. You don't pay attention to that stuff. Don't care about it. Don't care about Halloween, any of these things. But you can't avoid it. It's still there. It's still
coming.
It's still in pop culture. It's still around. You go to the grocery store, you're going to see Halloween items. You know, you can't get around it. So everybody's got it kind of in mind a little bit. So I don't know if this is the perfect time for this to be happening or maybe the worst time, but a bunch of sites are claiming aliens could make their first contact today. There's an outside chance of it. If you're not on your UFO news, which I don't blame you, because I'm learning about this too. An interstellar comet from outside our solar system has been zipping past us the last few months. It's only the third one we've ever seen, and it is gigantic. The footage of the data that we're collecting from this is fascinating. It's really interesting. If you're curious about space or any of that stuff, I encourage you to look into it. It's kind of interesting. Experts think it's about the size of Manhattan.
Oh, interesting.
And it's different than normal comets. So, of course, this has not only got the scientific community very curious and very interested, and fools like me that just think this stuff is interesting, even though I only understand every other word. I don't know half of the stuff they're talking about. And, of course, yes, the alien crowd, the crowd that's waiting for contact or something.
So it's assumed there's an alien on this comet.
Yeah, I have yet to see anything that's really where they're pulling this from necessarily. It's millions of miles away right now on the other side of the sun. So why is today the day? Basically, it's when it reaches its closest point to the sun or an event called the perihelion. The perihelion is when a comet is as close as it's ever going to get to us or the sun.
Oh, that was one of the words we didn't know.
Yeah.
When we did the every other thing.
Yeah. If it's aliens, today is the best day for them to change course by firing their boosters and, you know, and using the sun's gravity kind of like a slingshot. I mean, we all know this. Wow. We all learned this in grade school. I don't know what they're talking about. I have no idea. Man. Like all conspiracy theories, you got to do a lot of reaching. You got to use a lot of your imagination. This one, they're really doing overtime on. A guy at Harvard named Avi Loeb has been pushing the alien theory. He joked last month that if you're planning a vacation, maybe go before the 29th. Boy, he didn't really predict that they'd make first contact. The internet exaggerated that. Shocking. His point is that they could be back from behind the sun doing who knows what, and we're now in the window of when they'd be able to maybe reach out. The comet's been behind the sun for a few weeks, and we won't be able to see it again for a month or two, or more, actually. So even if it does change course, we probably wouldn't know for a long time. But now fans of the theory think that there's a chance the ship already releases probes and they're on their way here. But really, there's no reason to think any of this stuff necessarily. However, I do want to, I brought up everything I did about Halloween and this week and everything. And the older we get, the less we use our imagination, the less we give in to just fun, just the mystery of life. I'm sure everybody's heard the stat of how much a percentage of our oceans we haven't discovered yet and everything. I want us to discover those things. I want to know what's down there. And at the same time, there's something magical and wonderful about that.
And the mystery.
Yes. In a day and age where information is so at our fingertips and we can find out anything.
In our face all the time.
Yeah. I feel like we don't do enough of this where we don't just breathe for a second and like, we don't know that yet. That'll be fun to find out. That'll be interesting. There are going to be explorers. There are going to be people out there that are going to hunt these things down. And I think that's pretty cool. The idea of, I don't begrudge anybody the feelings or belief in aliens or anything like that. And as a realist with a overactive imagination, I can empathize with it. I can understand it to a degree. Because realistically, to me, it doesn't make any sense to think that we're the only thing in the universe that is conscious, that understands life, that is living and breathing and all that. That doesn't add up. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Well, at the same time, I don't know if anybody does this or not, but when I hear people talk about aliens or any of these things, one of the things it does for me is make me really, really, really appreciate life and human beings. I don't think we talk about this enough. And maybe there's a reason for that. But the planet is in the exact place it needs to be in the galaxy for all of this to exist. If it's 20 inches that way, if it's 20 inches this way, we're not here. None of this happens. So the fact that all of that happened and we are here, when we talk about aliens, when we talk about other things from other planets and all that, it's silly. It's fun. Some people take it maybe too serious. I don't know. That's each your own. But to me, what I take from this is, man, we are so lucky to be here. And that is so cool that we're here. And we've gotten to a stage in existence, in human beings, that we're actually able to think about other planets and other beings on other planets. Like, that's where we've gotten. We're not just trying to survive anymore. We're not just trying to, you know, make the next day happen or anything. We're looking up. We're trying to know what's up there. We're looking down in our oceans and trying to figure out what's in there. We're digging into our ground and finding dinosaur bones and all these things. And it's, I don't know. I don't know that we appreciate life enough. I don't know that we take a breath and like, wow, 20 inches that way, 20 inches this way, none of this is here. I think that if anything, these things can give us that, can give us those moments and take a breath and be, oh, that's pretty cool. And I thought we already had alien contact. Isn't this a mute point? I thought it was a couple years back and everything. They released all that that information and all those documents and stuff about saying that we have had contact from unidentified flying objects.
I think on your way out today, you're going to get beamed up.
Well, here's the thing. I feel like if they did beam me up, I feel very confident that I'm up there for a couple of minutes and then they send me
right back out. Yeah. Would you resist or would you go?
This past weekend, they did a jump scare to Michael Strahan. On the NFL show or whatever, yeah. On Fox. And he immediately turns around and is like, what's wrong with you, man? Like, and he's ready to punch the guy and stuff. That's me. That's my reaction. I feel like I'd be one of the worst people to, like, if they do it, they got to give me some, like, you know, lead into it and everything. Don't just, like, all of a sudden show up out of nowhere because you're going to get punched in the face. Like, I'm not trying to be a jerk here or anything, but you can't do that to certain people. I'm one of those people. Our first contact with aliens could be very bad. Could be very, very bad. If I see them coming, that's totally different.
No, yeah, I just see like a, you know, hovering over you and, you know, like the light thing that they always show with that, right? And you're getting sucked up, but you're like air punching.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm like there's no one around you, yes, but you're just swinging like
I'm
mad.
I'm kicking and screaming and everything. Yeah.
I kind of thought maybe you'd just go.
You would think that. You and a lot of other people would think that. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know about it. I don't know. I would say this. They would never have, they would save a lot of money on electricity or whatever they use for power because beaming me up would take nothing. Like, it beam me up. Like, I weigh 20 pounds. Like, that would take nothing for that beam to pull me up. We'll see where this goes. We'll see where it goes. I have a feeling that tomorrow our lead story will not be, wow, they were right.
Hopefully if that is the lead story, it'll actually play.
Yes. Here's hoping. Fingers crossed. That is kind of the funniest scenario of all of this, isn't it? If it actually did happen.
Yeah.
If they were right. If they
like, whoa.
Oh, okay. Which also would maybe be one of the most insane moments in human history because all of a sudden every other conspiracy theory is caught like all of a sudden like, oh, wait a minute. What about me?
Everything's blowing up.
What about mine? I love doing these odd stories, and we pull these oftentimes from UPI.com. Encourage you to head on over there and check out some of their not only good stories of the day, but just some of these fun ones, like a Maine gun store that counts a cow among its employees. This gun store in Maine is drawing in customers with more than just its selection of firearms. It counts a pet cow among its employees.
Well, I mean,
this ain't just a mascot. This cow's working. Adam Henderson, owned A&G Shooting in Fairfield, said that the miniature Zebu calf named Cade took an unusual route to becoming the store's goodwill ambassador. Quote, Mom had rejected him, so he was shivering and cold and laying in some mud in the woods, and we found him, and me and my wife brought him into the house and warmed him up and kept him alive. Henderson said Cade displayed so much personality while being nursed back to health that they decided to bring the bovine to the store.
I love it.
Quote, didn't plan on having a cow, but now we have a cow, so what do we do with a cow? You treat it like a dog and you bring it to work.
Yeah, it looks like one of those little mini Highland cows. It's super cute.
Cade had become something of a local celebrity, drawing customers to the store. He brings in a lot of smiling faces and a lot of kids to the store. And
you know, if you've got something, I don't care what you're doing in retail, if you've got something that actually draws people in,
yep,
capitalize on it.
Do it. Do it. Yes. Go all in.
They should be making t-shirts with this.
Exactly. Yes. Like, this is not just a mascot. This is something you could really lean into here. He says, quote, for the next few months, I would say he's going to be a staple here as long as I can fit him in the car. He'll go wherever we go.
Love it. And then he'll be steak.
Yes, yeah, that is how the story ends. This is
sorry.
Good steak.
We can be morbid this week, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. This is the week for it. Yeah. So this is a cool story to me and everything. But I got to pull into my sister and her husband and this farm that they have that they're on now with these cows, and I cannot get over this. Every time I think about it, my sister milking cows and these cows just following her around like they're her boys. It's stuck in my brain right now on repeat. They're amazing animals. I have not spent a whole lot of time around cows. This is probably the most I've ever done and everything. They are such sweet, wonderful animals. And so we were getting ready to leave to head to Chicago and everything. And we're leaving at 5:30, 6 in the morning and stuff. Jill's out there making sure the electric fence is going, all these things. So I go out there with her just out of curiosity and to help out if I can. And the cows are talking to us, mooing at it, like looking at you and mooing right at you.
Did she bring you out there to confirm the fence was on?
Yeah. 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 It's a real funny joke, Jill. Real funny. Little sisters, I tell
you. Next time you're there, feel the cow's tongue.
Ooh.
It's really rough.
I've heard that. Yeah, I got to do that. We'll take a quick time out. We'll come back and we're talking the percentage of us that have lived in a haunted house. We've got some stats on that one coming up on The Morning Show. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Terry and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll take you to the top of the hour. 10 o'clock hour. Going to kick off some entertainment news. We got a couple of other fun topics in there for you. We're going to get into a good one about how many of us actually use our vacation days. And we got another one with four big benefits of having a dog. All that coming up for you and plenty more. We'll get some good stories of the day next hour, our schedule, and a lot more lined up for you. But for now, I want to dive into this one right here about haunted houses. One in eight Americans claim they've lived in a home that was haunted at some point in their life. One in eight. That's a pretty good number. It's a pretty good step.
And that's a lot.
Seems like a lot more than I would have guessed. I would never have guessed that many. I would say 1 in 20, 1 in 30, 1 in 40, somewhere around those lines. I would never go 1 in 8.
That's a lot.
And to be fair, there's no set stat on this or anything like that.
They're self-defining.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, it's a great way to put it. So this 1 in 8 are come up in this story here, in this article, in this survey. A Halloween poll by Realtor.com found that the vast majority of us think hauntings are at least possible. 86% say yes, that it's possible. Only 14% said get real.
How many didn't know?
Yes. No, we didn't get that on this one. Oh. 12% or 1 in 8 claim they've lived somewhere that was haunted before. And if you believe in this, at this point in the game, there's nowhere that isn't haunted.
So what for you makes a house haunted?
Ooh, good question.
Did someone have to die there?
Yeah.
That sounds gross. But
yeah. No,
you know what I mean? Like, if you think about a house that's haunted, for you, what is that?
Boy, I don't know. I this is such a out of my wheelhouse kind of thing. I don't know where even to begin when, like, you ask. That's a great question, I feel like, but I don't.
In my head, like, something bad happened there.
Yeah.
It's not. Yeah. Like, when I think haunted, I think, ugh, I don't think good. You know what, like, I mean? Like, yeah, I don't, like, think positive things.
Something,
like, I don't.
Tragic.
Yeah. I don't think of, like, oh, you know, your great grandmother comes back to. To me, that's not haunted.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Like, to me, it's something. Negative.
I would think of, like, when I think of haunted, I think of, okay, unfinished business. I think of somebody that didn't go in a peaceful way, or didn't, you know, whatever.
Something we saw in a movie at some point, right?
Absolutely.
But like,
absolutely.
Yeah. I feel like something, yeah. Like, yeah. Somebody died there in my head.
And if that's the criteria for it or anything, then in that case, I don't know that there's anywhere on the planet that isn't. I mean, we've had a lot of people, and a lot of people go. Like, I don't know that there's anywhere where there hasn't been. And certainly, it's hard to imagine it outside of if a home is over 80 years old. I mean, what are the odds that it hasn't had somebody pass in it or pass by it or something like that? And the ground, the land that we're on, all of this land has been used. All of this land has probably had something. So, I mean, I feel like you're more hard-pressed to find somewhere on the planet, literally on the planet, that hasn't had.
Like, I think my brother's house is haunted. I mean, loosely, right? When we joke about it,
but
it is kind of funny because sometimes weird things just happen there.
Well, it doesn't help anything that the older a house gets, the more the wood gets warped or doors creak or different things
the
happen.
The more character, right?
Yes.
That it has.
So that only, if your mind is already in this place, it's only, that's why when you watch a scary movie at night, that's why the sounds are so much louder and you do hear things that you might not hear otherwise because your brain is, that fight or flight part of your brain is kicking in. So, 12%, 1 in 8 claim that they have lived somewhere that was haunted. Here are the top haunted experiences they have had. Hearing weird noises. 2/3 of people who have lived in a haunted home reported things like footsteps, banging sounds, or mysterious music. 51% specifically said a disembodied voice. I know that I've heard weird noises before. I don't think I've ever heard a voice. I don't think I've ever heard anything like that.
No, I think, though, and I guess I don't know when this last time this would have happened, but I'm thinking back to being, like, you know, teenager, young adult, right? And you'd maybe hear a weird noise, but then I think your own brain just imagines that. You know what I mean? Like, it kicks in things that it's like, wait a minute. No, I didn't really hear that. I will tell you that I'm not a fan of, I used to, but I'm not a fan of, like, horror movies and stuff, just creepy stuff. Like, to me, it's like, why? But I will tell you that a couple weeks ago, I actually watched the first episode of Ed Gein on Netflix. That was gross. But in there, I'm not spoiling it. And don't worry, I didn't watch past episode one and I don't intend to. but there were, you know, like, he starts hearing things. That's the perception of whoever put out this, I don't know if you can really call it a documentary, whoever put out this series. But in there, all of a sudden, it's just like all this twisty head stuff, you know, starts. And it, but it's that same kind of thing. Like, once you hear one little piece, do you stop it and block it out? Or does your imagination go with it?
Especially the way the brain works. Yeah, it's so wild. How was his acting? I'm a big fan of Charlie Hunnam, the actor playing Ed Gein. I haven't gotten to see it yet.
I mean,
he did pretty good.
Right on. Like, yuck.
So, hearing noises, weird sounds, that's one of them. Also on the list, shadowy figures or ghosts. 61% saw something they couldn't explain. This I've felt before, but similar to what you're saying there, Terry, I kind of, you know, wasn't sure, did I see something out of the corner of my eye, or did my imagination see something, or is it 1 a.m. and I need to sleep?
Right.
Yeah, I don't, to be honest,
but
I don't know.
But we probably default to, we saw something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, our reason kicks out for some.
You can look at the sports world for this one. We see this all the time when it comes to the talking heads in sports and everything. You can tell when somebody doesn't like somebody. Like, no matter what they do, they're gonna take a shot at them. If you believe in ghosts, if you believe in these things, then your brain is going to more than likely believe that you heard something. If you don't believe in anything, then you're more likely to believe, oh, it was just the chair moving or something like that. And that's just science. That's not my opinion or anything. That's just the way the science science works of it. It's the same thing with sports. I mean, if you are not a fan of so-and-so, no matter what that athlete ever does, you're never necessarily going to, you know, be okay with them. You're always going to have shots at them. Objects moving on their own. 58% claim that they have seen that, that they might mean, that might mean something moving across the table or something showing up in a weird spot on its own. I will say, and it would have to be something big, like the microphone right there moving to the other part of the room or something like that.
Do you have to see it move? Or if you leave the room and come back and it's not in the same spot?
That doesn't mess with me. Okay. But if I'm, because I've never experienced anything even close to that.
Like if it starts levitating and just goes across?
That's going to get me on guard. Now, but
I would hope.
Here's the thing. I'm a fool. I'm the fool that runs towards these things. I don't run away from it. So if that happens, I'm immediately looking for the wires.
Like it's magnetic to you.
I'm talking to the ghost in the room. I'm like, all right, man, sit down. You're going to mess with me. You're going to be interviewed. All right? You showed up. You came to a radio show. You're going to be interviewed. Sit down. You know, talk loudly. Make sure that you're close to the microphone. Put the headphones on. Objects moving on their own feels like one of the more freakier ones to me. I feel like that would freak me out more than seeing a ghost or anything. I don't know why, but I feel like it would. Feelings of being touched, 51% have felt that. Like you feel someone tap your shoulder, but no one was there.
Ugh.
Yeah, that one seems like it'd be a freak you out a little bit too, I bet. And flickering lights. 48% saw flickering lights or appliances turning on and off. That one, you know, certainly is a go-to in horror movies, I know, and certainly can be, but that's got to be one of the more easily explained ones, too.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah. The poll also found most of us would buy a haunted house if the price was right. Just 15% said no deal. Would you, you find your magical perfect home and everything, however, it's haunted, quote-unquote haunted, would it sway you at all?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah? I don't know that it would me.
I guess it would depend how they're, you know, what does haunted mean? But
yeah.
A whole bunch of like unexplained events, it would make me pause probably.
If it was known for a famous murder or something like that, that's a different story. 79% said that they would not live there if it was more, you know, had a famous horrible action happen there or something.
House?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I know that one of the biggest things, biggest issues, not just with rural areas like ours, but just in real estate and all these other industries is inventory. We don't have enough houses. With that said, certain houses like the Manson House, things like that, tear it down. Like, what are we doing? Tear it down. We'll build up a new one.
Like,
I mean, you know, I don't know why we wouldn't do that.
It's, and I don't think I would care if, like, you know, if I was looking at a house and maybe an elderly person died there, that's one thing. But like if someone was murdered there,
yeah.
Or if, you know, like if a child died, like there's some things for me that would just be weird.
There's some stuff, I 100% I agree with you. And at the same time, if it's the right price, I mean, I don't know. Houses are expensive. I might try to work it out with the ghosts and everything. Like, hey, you got to pay some rent.
I mean, you are super validating to me that how smart it was to build our own home.
Yes. Like, yes.
Thank you very much.
Going back to my sister, that's what they did too. They built their own home and everything. And I'm thinking this is part of the reason. Now
not part of my reasoning, but no, you're helping me along.
Added bonus to building your own. Do you currently live in a home that you feel is haunted, or have you lived in one that is haunted? Let us know. 715-424-2600. Call or text us through the Civic Media app. Want to hear from you, especially this week of all weeks, everybody. Look forward to that. Looking forward to some entertainment news. That we're going to get into, including a local show that's filming and being done here in Wisconsin that has a Wisconsin celebrity attached to it that I'm looking forward to diving into. And also looking forward to our Halloween show this Friday, 5 to 8. Tune in to WFHR from 5 to 8. We're going to be playing spooky stories, scary songs, and creepy poems. It is going to be a blast. We have so much fun with this one. Join us 5 to 8 this Friday for WFHR's Halloween show. We'll be back with more show coming up.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.